path along life's highway. So common and well trod by the shoes of burdened Christians who won't put their trust in God.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret with your host, author, and teacher, Sylvia Pierce. The Liberating Secret is dedicated to revealing the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Let's join Sylvia Pierce for today's lesson.
He died and rose again to set me free.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. So glad to be with you again today. I'm going through the book of Colossians. I love this little book. It's a great little letter. It's only four chapters, but like I always say, it's jam-packed with meaty revelation. So, and I said this before, Peter is the milkman because he talks about the milk of the word, but Paul is the meat man because he brings us the meat of the word. So, wow. So it's deeper than just what Peter brings. And actually, in the book of Little Peter, at the end, I think, of the first Peter, it says that Peter said that Paul was a little bit hard to understand. So hopefully Peter caught up with the revelations that Paul had. But I love Paul's revelations. There's no doubt about it. And Colossians is one of my very favorite. Actually, the program, The Liberating Secret, the announcer always says, we teach Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And of course, that comes from this little book of Colossians. And anytime you see Christ in you or in Christ or Christ in you, it's Christ in union with you. It's not Christ and a separate you. It's Christ in union with you. I mean, actually, that's what in Christ means, that he has joined, his spirit has joined to your spirit, and you're one with him. So Paul is just reminding the Colossians the foundational truth of the gospel, actually, what saves them and what keeps them to the end. So, and he oftentimes has to do this because the early churches, as soon as they were established, it wasn't long before some kind of perversion would come along and they would drift off into some kind of perversion and away from the simplicity of the gospel. So Paul says in Philippians, and I love this, I like this little verse in Philippians. He says to the Philippians, he says, I write the same things to you. In other words, I pretty much am writing the same thing over and over to you. To me, it indeed is not grievous. In other words, I love doing it. But to you, it is safe. It's safe. It keeps us safe in the truth, standing in the truth. Because it's standing in the truth that's going to set us free. Drifting off in some of the problems that the Colossians had. And let me tell you what they were. They were false teachers that were enticing the young believers with enticing speculations. Let's drift off and let's speculate for a while. Well, we can do that. That might be okay for a little while, but I mean, we don't say that the speculations end up being the truth. I mean, the word is the truth. What the apostles laid down was the truth, not what we've speculated or rationalized. And they've also were caught in vain philosophy. Like I said, that part of the world was near Athens, where all the great philosophers were. And philosophy is fine, but if it's just humanistic philosophy, it's a wisdom of this world. Paul speaks against the wisdom of this world. We are not saved by the wisdom of this world. We do not walk by the wisdom of this world. We walk by the wisdom of God, which is different, far different. The kingdom of God has its own wisdom, and the world has its wisdom too. But it's totally different. First Corinthians really brings that out. So young believers were drawn into vain philosophy and legalistic ritual. I mean, and everybody's always moving into legalistic ritual. That's what was the problem in the Galatian church. And actually, Paul says, you're bewitched when you think you begun in the Spirit, not by works of righteousness. None of us are saved by our own works. We're saved by faith in Christ alone, But as soon as they're saved, you know, there's always people that will try to pull you off in the lie that that now with through the flesh you're going to perfect yourself, you're going to sanctify yourself through doing good works. Well, you're not saved by doing good works, and you're not sanctified by doing your own good works, and you're not glorified by doing your own good works. It has to be the works of the Spirit. What is going to last for eternity is what the Spirit has accomplished through you. That's why it's so very important to really know the voice of the Spirit, know the voice of the Lord inside of you, and move only when He tells you to, not when you feel like you ought to, and not when by the influence of other people, but by the moving of the Holy Spirit within you. Individually, each one of us have the voice of the Holy Spirit within us, and He will teach us all things and show us and direct us in the path that we should go. And it's easy to hear from God, but you've got to be quiet yourself. So these Colossians were drawn off because they were listening to everybody else. And boy, we can sure get drawn off the truth when we start listening to everybody except God. And we're to, it says that he's the shepherd, and the sheep know His voice. Well, it's natural for you, if you are born again of God's Spirit, it's natural for you to hear the voice of God. And so you don't follow anybody else, any other shepherd. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within you. So these people were drifting off into all these different ritualistic rituals, touch not, taste not. Basically, they were moving into Gnosticism, which really teaches that this reality, this physical reality, is evil. And so matter is evil. Well, if you worship it, it might be, but it's not the matter that's evil. It's the fact that you're worshiping a false thing. I mean, so since they thought that all matter and manifested level was evil, well, then they didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Well, He couldn't have come in human flesh because they thought human flesh was evil. So they put themselves under ritualistic legalism, touch not, taste not, you know, and actually they would beat their flesh, you know, to make it behave. Well, that is not Christianity. That's exactly, you know the story when Elijah took Ahab and the 850 priest of Baal up on Mount Carmel to decide who in the world was the true God. And those priests had to beat themselves and cut themselves to make their God work for them. And of course He didn't. And it just took one man, Elijah, against 850 on the false God who always had their priests beat themselves and cut themselves up. Well, these people in Colossae were doing the same thing. They were beating their body because they believed that was evil. Well, this was a sect in that church. It was not all the church. All the church had not fallen to this, but part of it was, and a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. So Paul had to deal with it. Now, Paul had never really been to Colossae before, but there was an intercessor, a faithful servant of God. His name was Epaphras. And he came to Paul when he was in Rome telling him of what was going on. So Paul gave him this letter to take back to Colossae, and also gave him a letter to take to Ephesus, because Colossae, like I said, was only 100 miles east of Ephesus. And whenever Paul wrote a letter to Ephesus, he always wrote one to Laodicea. These are cities. And so and they passed those letters around. I mean, that was their scripture. It was Paul's letters, and we thank the Lord that they made it through the canons, the faithful fathers that canonized, you know, our Bible. We're thankful that they made it in, because they are rich. They are very, very rich in the truth of the gospel, and how it's all by faith in Jesus Christ. And what He's doing in the book of Colossians is centering them into Christ as the preeminent one. Christ is the only authority and rule of heaven and earth. Christ is the only, is the author of their reconciliation. They cannot be reconciled to God any other way. There's no other mediator between God and man except the man Christ Jesus. He is the one that has reconciled us and made it possible for man and God to join together as one. And that's exactly what we fell from in Adam. And now Christ came to reunify us back with the Father. And of course he did that through his death, burial, and glorification and resurrection, which he did that on our behalf. He did that totally on our behalf as an intercessor. That's what an intercessor does. Intercessor stands in the gap on behalf of other people, and he did it for the whole world. Now, not the whole world is already saved. So many people are saying that lately. The whole world's already saved. They just don't know it. If you say it that way, then you're believing that all you have to do is have a mental assent. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm already saved. Well, no, salvation comes because we've repented of the old life. We've repented of our sins, and we know we're sinners, and we need a Savior to save us. It's not just some kind of quick mental okay agreement. It actually is coming to the cross and knowing that I need my sins forgiven, and Christ is the one who has forgiven my sins, and I repent of them and come to Him for a new life, and He will give us the new life because He calls us new creations. Through His Spirit joining with my spirit and our spirit, that's what happens in salvation. And then we receive Him, and as we receive Him, we're called new creations. We're actually a new creation, a new race of being, howbeit. Isn't that great? So Christ, He is bringing us back to the center point, and it's so easy to drift off and think that it's things that we receive and not the person of Christ. Salvation is not a thing we receive. Salvation is receiving a person of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And He is the source of all of the believer's power. Philippians says a wonderful thing, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Wow. That's what it means to know Him, the power of His resurrection. And He is the sustainer of all things. We're going to see that He holds all things together by all things are consist and are held together. Every molecule, every atom is held together simply by His word. Hallelujah. So He holds all things together. Why would we want to drift from the one, the person of Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the person of God Himself that comes inside of us and joins Himself to us at salvation? Why would we want to drift from anything else? Well, we only drift in our minds because it's through the mind that Satan, through fallen mind, that Satan can speak to us and pull us off into other directions other than Christ and Christ alone. So Paul's pulling them back to that point that only Christ is the preeminent one. Well, last time I read a wonderful prayer that I said it could be the model prayer for all of us. We could pray it for ourselves, our families. We could pray it even, you know, over our fellowships. We could pray it over our nation. Let me read it real quickly. I went over it explaining it last time, but this time I'm just going to read it without explaining. I'm just going to read this. Just meditate on this wonderful prayer that Paul prays over this church. And this is what he says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. My goodness, is that prayer loaded? Let's go back just a little bit. First of all, he's praying that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all the wisdom and spiritual understanding, not just some kind of heady informational understanding, but spiritual understanding, the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ understanding, which you can only understand in union with Christ, because Christ is made unto us that wisdom and that new mind in Christ. And it says that you might walk worthy. We said before, that's not that I have to make myself worthy. That just means that worthy of the Lord with all pleasing, being fruitful, meaning in everything we do. And actually, I like to say that all of us are ministers. They're not just certain people that are called to be ministers. I think every born again person is a minister that can minister the truth to other people. And maybe just in a word or in a smile, in a love, in some kind of acceptance and faith and prayer towards that other person. You're ministering. You are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, 2 Corinthians calls us ministers of reconciliation. We're a part of reconciling people back to the Lord, bringing them to the Lord. And you think of yourself, my goodness, I'm not equipped. Well, yes, you are equipped because you have the Holy Spirit. Every person, whether you feel like it or not, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit is the witness within you, and you shall be a witness once the Holy Spirit comes on you. You shall be a witness unto him, unto where you live, your community, and the Bible says to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall be. So it's an absolute given. So it's not like we ought to be or we ought to try to be. We shall be. It's a promise. So, but he says that walk worthy. That means it's the quality of the work you do. You see, if it's done in the flesh, you'll be looking at quantity. You'll be looking at numbers and how much have I done, and you'll be patting yourself on the back and maybe being a little proud of what you've done. That's quantity. We don't even look at the quantity. Let God figure that out. The quality of what you're doing, is it effective? How can it be affected? It can only be affected if it's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you take it by faith. My precious husband, let me tell you about him. He has really come into the life of Christ. He's walked a long time knowing that Christ was his Savior, but he did not know that Christ was his life. Well, he has moved into that, and it has just absolutely illuminated him. So he just wholeheartedly believes that the words that he witnesses to people are not his words. There's the words of the Spirit. He trusts that with all his heart. And you know what? They are. And they are effective. And they're very powerful. He doesn't try to come up with a scenario or try to come up with what he has to say to his friends. He always says his friends are pretty much rascals and they're, you know, hard to witness to. But he doesn't even labor over it. If he just goes and loves them, he knows that that's a witness as well. It's not all always in word, but it's in deed. And I like what St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, but only use words when necessary. Because I want to tell you all are witnesses. You all are ministers. You're all ministers of reconciliation. And I don't care how big and what the number is. It's not about number. It's about the quality. If you're believing that Jesus is going to witness through you, then you don't even try. You don't even try to make anything up. You don't even try to go with any word or anything. You just go be. And as you be, the Holy Spirit will give you the opportunity. The Holy Spirit will speak out through you. It's so easy when you just trust Jesus. When you try to make it up yourself, it's too hard. And it never works anyway. You can come up with all kinds of scenarios that you're going to say, it never worked for me. It probably won't work for you either. So, and then what he says, he's going to strengthen us in might. Wow. By his glorious power. That's the power of Christ within us. It's not our power. It's his power. And that power is different than what we think, because this verse is saying power to be patient. Well, we don't think of power that way. We think of power as, wow, I prayed for somebody and they got well, or I prayed for somebody else, they found salvation. Well, that's true. Those things are very powerful. But also, quietness And patience, it takes glorious power to be patient. It's His power that works in you that causes you to be patient and have long suffering. Wow, we don't think of power that way. Well, and then it says, has made you able to be a partaker of the saints in light. And I love that. Be partakers of the same thing, of the saints in light. Well, it says in Peter that we, in 2 Peter, let me read it to you. He says, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's already given you all things to life and godliness because He is that life. He is that godliness. Through the knowledge of Him, knowing that you're in union with Him and it's His knowledge and His life and His godliness, and hath given to us to glory in virtue. He's given us that because it's His glorious life within us, actually. Whereby are given unto you exceedingly great and precious promises. You see, we're living from promises because we live by faith. I'm not living from requirements. I live by promises. What God has promised. What God has promised, is He not able to do? Yes, He is. He is, and He will do it in you, but you have to believe His promises. Now listen to this. He has given you great promises that you might be partakers of the divine nature of Christ Himself in union with you. Partakers of that. It means that that is your inheritance, but you have to be a partaker of it. You have to take it by faith. Partaking means the same thing as eating. When I eat food, I'm partaking of what's available to me. Well, what is available to us as Christians? His very life, His divine nature is available to you. He has promised that to you. That is part of your inheritance. But you have to be a partaker. You have to take it. Well, how do you take it? Well, how do you eat food? You just simply put it in your mouth and swallow it. All right, well, faith is just that simple. Now, you might chew it for a while, but you swallow it. Okay, faith is just that simple. God has promised it. He's promised you godliness. He's promised you glory. He's promised you righteousness. He's promised you holiness. And it's all in His divine nature. It's His divine nature. It's not mine. I don't have it really a nature. My human self doesn't have a nature of its own able to produce anything. The flesh can't produce anything. The Bible is saying over and over and over again, the flesh is weak, cannot produce anything. So I have to be a partaker of His divine nature that is the power that produces righteousness, that is the power that produces glory through me, that is the power of godliness through me. So if you're struggling with sins or things that beset you, you take it by faith that you have His divine nature, who is able to overcome all those sins in you and overcome them. You see, He is our overcomer, and it's our faith that overcomes. We overcome by faith, by the blood of the Lamb, by the fact that Jesus has already paid the price and died and was raised again and is seated with Christ in heavenly places, seating us together with Him, and has imparted to us His own life through the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost was about. He was imparting to us through the Holy Spirit His own divine nature. Now that is Christ within us, the only hope of glory. So that's what our ministry is about. That's what this letter is testifying. And I love it because it says, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness. So if you feel like you haven't been delivered, that's a lie. That's not true. You take it by faith that Christ is your deliverance. Not that you're going to be. You will, but you're going to be delivered only because you're believing that He has already delivered you. The cross has already done it. So we're trying to get into a room that we've already got. We're trying to get deliverance that we've already got, but you've got to be a partaker. You've got to take it just like you take a bite. You chew it, you swallow it. You see, swallowing means I'll take it. I'm just going to receive it. So, faith is so easy. You just open your arms and you just say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to receive it. So if people out there have not really taken that step of faith where they're just saying, I'm just going to receive, Christ is in union with me. He is inside of me, and He is all the godliness I need. He's all the righteousness I need. He's all the holiness I need. He is my forgiveness. If you don't forgive a person, He is my forgiveness. He is my life. So I'm just going to take that by faith. Just simply open your hands and just say thank you. Just thank you. When you say thank you, you've just received it. So thank you. Now, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to walk in it. Now, that's what we do in Christ Our Life Ministries. We teach you how to walk in the truth of what you've already received. And then, I'm telling you, it totally transformed my life. It totally transformed my husband's life. And I promise you, it will transform you. Because you have been delivered, just like this Bible, from the powers of darkness. And you have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And He, in whom you have redemption through His precious blood, even the forgiveness of your sins. And not only the forgiveness of your sins, but also of the life of Christ has come inside of you. And if you do not know your sins are forgiven, and maybe Satan just continually reminds you of your sins all the time, I want to tell you, if he keeps reminding you of your past sins, you remind him of his future. His future is hell. His future is he's going to be passed into the bottomless pit, you see, into hell, you see. So whenever Satan, you feel like you're down because, oh my gosh, of all the things that I've done, there's no way I can be forgiven, you say, no, I'm not taking that. Satan, get behind me. You keep reminding me of what I've done in my past, and you keep me in bondage to that. And I say, no, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all my sins, and I'm going to stand in that truth. Now, you're just now partaking that divine nature that has all forgiveness and all light. Now, you're a saint in the light, but you have to partake of it by faith. All right, now, next time we're going to go into the fact that Jesus Christ is preeminent. He is the head of the body. He's the preeminent one of the whole universe. He is the Lord of the universe. So thank you for joining me, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.
You have been listening to The Liberating Secret with Sylvia Pierce. We want to send a special thank you to all our supporters who make this program possible. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to contact Sylvia, you can write her at P.O. Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky 40253. That's Post Office Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky 40253. You can also find more of Sylvia's teachings on her website. The web address is www.theliberatingsecret.com. That's www.theliberatingsecret.com. And be sure to listen again right here, Monday through Friday at the same time, for The Liberating Secret with author and teacher Sylvia Pierce. So until next time, may God richly bless you.